Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Good to have all of you here. I appreciate all of our speakers. And this one has caused me a lot of grief over the years. There's been a lot of happiness too, but she's done well, and she loves the Lord. I appreciate her spirit, her desire to serve the Lord, do what she can for the Lord, and I am very proud of her. Lord bless you. Love you, Sheena.
Well, I come to you sitting down. For those of you who do not know, I had surgery on my knee. My feet are okay for now, but I have to wear this brace at least until Monday and try to keep off of my leg until they free me and say that I can move it about and do all the normal things that one likes to do with their legs and their knees. So until that time, you see me sitting. I am privileged to speak to you tonight on the last chapter of The Fasting Edge. And I felt like it was a very powerful conclusion to what we've been learning about The Fasting Edge. And so I titled this last lesson, Honing Edges, Becoming Precious Diamonds. And so you'll see kind of why I correlated this final chapter to a study of diamonds and you could say precious gemstones if you really wanted, but I think diamonds in particular, because interestingly, to understand diamonds, you have to understand how they are made. And carbon is, and I will admit to all of you, I am not a science person. So many of you who might say, I know science and what she's saying is not exactly right, you'll have to forgive me because I only did some research from what I could find on the internet. So if I am wrong, and you tell me, no, it's 6 atoms, not 12, or whatever I say, just forgive me, okay? Overlook it. This is not the Bible. This is what I did in research. But in what I learned about diamonds is diamonds are formed from carbon, pure carbon. And carbon, an atom of carbon, is the basis of many living things, living and non-living. It's the basis of a lot of life as we know it. Our skin is made up of carbon atoms and some other things that are bonded together. So carbon is the basis of a lot of the things that we know, but pure carbon in life you find in two forms, and that's a diamond and graphite. Which graphite is just basically, it's your pencil lead. That's what graphite is. So it's interesting to note that there are two things that we know of that are made from the pure carbon atoms, and they are both distinctly different from each other. So understanding diamonds, I think you have to understand graphite because they both are formed from the same, or as I said, pure carbon atoms. So diamonds are formed under intense heat and pressure, whereas graphite is formed through minimal heat and pressure, very little. Diamond, the carbon atoms are very bonded. So when you actually see, and I'll show you on the second slide, when you see the structure of how the carbon atoms are formed, they are bonded together to each other very compactly. It's like they've got support systems everywhere. That's how the diamond is. Because of their support structure of being so bonded together to each other, to the other carbon atoms, that is what creates diamonds to be one of the hardest materials known. That's what creates a diamond's strength. Graphite, on the other hand, the carbon atoms are loosely bonded in superficial layers. So the the layers kind of go like this. Instead of being all bound together in the middle, they're loose. They're just like loose layers, lightly bonded to each other. Because of that, graphite breaks very easily with little pressure. I mean, you know, when you write with a pencil, it doesn't take much to break the lead. It's very fragile. So not a whole lot of pressure with graphite is required for it to crumble and break. Diamonds are one of the best known naturally occurring thermal conductors, whereas graphite is a naturally occurring thermal insulator. So what does that mean? Diamonds, what that means is diamonds can keep the heat. Graphite expels the heat. Okay? Diamonds can hold the heat, can conduct heat. Graphite, it's going to expel it. This is kind of an illustration of the structure of the diamond, the carbon atoms, how they're formed. And you can kind of see the diamond below it is its structure. And you can see it looks kind of almost like a cage. They are super bonded to each other. The structure is very tight and compact. Whereas graphite, you see, it's just layers on top of layers. It's like these little superficial layers, and they are not bonded. Those layers are not bonded together. There is no support structure for graphite. So we are supposed to become like a diamond. That's what we're called to do with Christ. So how do you become a diamond? Well, you gotta stay in the fire. You gotta stay in the heat. You gotta stay in the pressure. You can say, man, whatever I'm going through, it feels like a pressure cooker. Feels like it's getting hot up in here. Feels like I'm overwhelmed with what's happening. I can't hardly breathe, it's suffocating. You may just be in the process of breaking out into forming a structure that is going to make you a diamond. You may very well be in that process. So the quit option for us as Christians, it can't be an option. The quit option, there's no option for it. So you should never allow yourself to make permanent decisions based on temporary circumstances. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. The situation that you may be going through, as hard as it may be, as difficult of a trial as you may be enduring, whatever it may be, and you may say, it's been going on for years. This has been going on for years. How long do you think it takes to make a pure diamond? Weeping for a night, but joy in the morning. You can't even consider quitting. When you think about it, you talk about it. What does the Bible say? It says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Where did the mouth get it? You were thinking about it. You've been dwelling on it. It's been in your gut. You've been saying, well, but if it's too hard, I still have the third option. I can call it quits. You can't do it. Diamonds don't have that option of quitting. You gotta stay in it. You gotta say, I'm not gonna think about it. It's not an option for me. I'm in this for the end. I'm in this no matter what. There isn't anything that can deter me or put me off my course. I am in it to win it. Period. Because when you think about it, you talk about it. When you talk about it, you're eventually going to act on it. So you got to fill up with the fire. Find strength through his joy. Nehemiah 8 and 10 says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. So even though your circumstance may look bad, even though the situation may look bad, you can find joy in the Lord and say, but he is still good. He is still merciful. He is still kind. He is still a way maker. He is still everlasting to everlasting. He is still a peace speaker. He is still a game changer. He is still a healer. He is still omnipresent, omniscient, all-knowing. He is God, my provider, Jehovah Rophe, Jehovah Nisi. I don't have to worry about tomorrow, even though the struggle is real today, because my God has already made the way. And as you build yourself up on that joy, you get strength to handle the fire, to handle the heat. Simply quitting cannot be an option. It can't be an option for your faith. It can't be an option for your family. It can't be an option for your marriage. It can't be an option for your children, for each other. So what about the others who throw in the towel? What about them? It doesn't mean that we do it. It doesn't mean that we do it. Somebody else that we love may throw in the towel, and we can't make them serve the Lord. We can't make them stick it out to become a diamond, but we've got power because we're being transformed. We can pray. We can fast. We can speak a word. We can say, I need a prayer partner. We can come and say, I have a need, and bring it before the altar. We are not unable to affect change just because someone else is not choosing to make it. We can still be change makers through the one who can change everything. So who, what, how, when, where, why? Those are the questions about becoming a diamond. Who? To whom does this apply? Do I have the power to become a diamond? Yes, because it's not through your power. It's not through your might. It's not through your strength. The Lord is the power. The Holy Ghost is the power. He won't quit on us, but we can quit on him. So you can't ever say to me, the Lord decided that I'm not worth saving. The Lord decided I'm too far gone. He created the universe. I'm too much for him to handle. I think he can do this. I think no matter what I've done, he can fix it. He can make it into something awesome because he's got all power. And the bigger that you magnify him, the more that what you're going through is not going to feel so much like intense pressure, but the changing process. You're going to feel more like, it's all right. I'm just in the baker right now. I'm just cooking. I'm just making something awesome. It feels bad, but it don't feel so bad anymore because I'm becoming something incredible. I'm about to shine. So what? What if I've already failed? Past failures don't have to be the stumbling blocks to future success. They can be an element that adds to our brilliance. Diamonds, and this is what I show you right here in this picture, you can find diamonds in all kinds of other colors other than just white or clear. Diamonds come in all of these arrays of colors. And I did research to find out why that is. Those diamonds, they come in other colors not because they have impurities. It is because they've bonded with another element that wasn't necessarily meant to be bonded with them. And that element that they bonded with, although it wasn't necessarily meant to be there, it creates the magnificent colors that you can find in diamonds. So what am I saying? If you give the Lord your past, if you give the Lord your mistakes, if you give the Lord your failures, He doesn't have to cut away the things that happened to you to say those are no good. He can turn those around and say, I'm going to make it so that you just shine in a color. I'm going to make it so that you are just that more beautiful. I'm going to make it so that you have a testimony. I'm going to make it so that you can share with somebody else and give them an encouraging word. And it doesn't have to be something that you drag around behind you like a weight or a chain, but it creates a beautiful blue or a beautiful purple or a beautiful yellow, a stone of brilliance, a diamond that has bonded with something, but because it was given over to the Lord to make a success, it doesn't have to be an inclusion or an impurity that the jeweler says, this part's no good. He can make it all good. He can make it all good. In the Navy SEALs, and I know we have some here who know exactly what I'm going to talk about with the Navy SEALs. In the Navy SEALs, only the elite of the elite make it through the intense training that is required to become a SEAL. Sister Jenny's son is a SEAL. That's why I make that reference. Only the elite of the elite. But even the SEALs have a quit option. When they are in training, they can do what's called DOR. And it's drop on request. That's what that means. They can DOR if they want, but they have to go and ring a bell. That's how they DOR. And I read one of the trainers who, of course, if you are a trainer, you had to be a SEAL yourself. And one of the trainers said, the SEALs that we see make it through the training, and it's intense, they said, are the ones who knew from the very beginning of training that DOR was never an option. It was never an option for them. The bell in their mind did not exist. They said, the ones that we saw who couldn't make it through the training, they kept the bell in mind. Like, if today is too rough, I can ring a bell. With us in our relationships with the Lord, there can be no bell. We have to be beyond the SEALs that we train. We have to be beyond the best military forces that we have here on a physical plane. We have to be able to say, there is no way. No matter what my past is, no matter what I'm doing now, I am not going to allow a trial, a situation, a test, an obstacle of any kind to cause me to say, I'm going to DOR on the Lord. Many are called, few are chosen. We are all called to make the team. We can all do it. But how many of us are willing to sit through the heat and the pressure to become a diamond? That's the key. So how do we keep from quitting? It's hard, right? First, it can't be an option. We've gone through that. The next thing, we've got to get real about the struggles. Without honesty, you will stumble, fall, and eventually quit. You have to be willing to get help from those who will encourage you along your journey. You must be willing to be honest about what's happening in your life. You cannot go under the illusion and the deception that you can make it on your own. SEALs are not a one-man show. As good as a SEAL may be, he is made better by his team. A diamond only has the structure that creates the hardness that it needs to make it and survive the heat because it is so closely bonded with other carbon atoms. The more that we become bonded with each other, the more that we get in unity as a body, the more that we say, we are in this together. I can't fail because you can't fail. You can't fail because I can't fail. We're going to lock arms. We're going to become stronger. Have you ever done, as kids, I remember, Red Rover, Red Rover. And what was the object? Break the bonds, right? To break through. But people would get closer and closer, wouldn't they? Get tighter and tighter. Because the looser that the bonds were, the easier it was to break through. The tighter, it was harder. It was harder to break through the bonds. We've got to remember where our strength comes from. Our strength comes from a unified position in the body of Christ. We are not a one-man show, but we are here together to be a body jointly fitted together, each one of us carrying a significant role that is supposed to help and encourage and strengthen one another to make it to the end. You are just as important to this as I am, and vice versa. We can't make it alone. The next thing is you have to listen and apply wise, godly counsel and the word to your life in an understanding that your life is meaningless without him. We find our meaning and our purpose through our relationship with God. People have struggled for millennia, trying to answer a question, why am I here? What is the meaning of life? And the answer is so simple. It is to have a relationship with the Most High. That is why we were created in the beginning, to commune with the King. That is the purpose. Everything else is extra. Everything else is a nice extra, but the purpose is the relationship with the King. So we want to listen when we are receiving good word, good wise counsel. And we must go further than just listen, but apply it. We will not get anywhere if we don't also apply what we hear to our lives. There are no shortcuts to success. There is no magic formula where you can twinkle your nose, click your heels together, and get to the end of the finish line. You don't get to jump three spaces and then collect $200. Life happens each and every single day. Diamonds only occur in one way, through the intense heat and intense pressure that happens in the earth through thousands of years of formation. Everything else is an imitation. You can see a cubic zirconium. It's a big, flashy, it looks like a diamond. Structurally, it's close, but it doesn't have the same kind of carbon bonds that a diamond has. Therefore, it breaks. It is not strong. It's flashy, but no substance or value. If you want to get this and you want to make it to the end, and we're coming to a time where everything rocks our world. I would never have imagined several years ago when I was in high school that we would have been dealing with gender issues in children. I would never have imagined that we'd be facing some things that my little girl at 5 could be dealing with as early on as kindergarten. In the schools, discussions of things that are appalling, are sickening to my heart and to my soul. But that's where we are. How do we survive it? We must become hard like a diamond. We must be impenetrable to the outside things that are trying to rock our world. We have to be able to say, I have a line and I've marked it in the sand. You will not shift me from my position. I will not waver in my beliefs. I will not waver in what my values are. I will not waver in what the Lord has given me. What I have is precious. Revelations 12 and 11 says, and they have overcome, conquered him by the means of the blood of the Lamb and by the utterance of their testimony. For they did not love and cling to life even when faced with death, holding their lives cheap till they had to die for their witnessing. We have to remember that we are just simply vessels. And even though our bodies may hurt, we may find sickness, we may ache, this is temporary. This is still only temporary. It's still only temporary. What I have inside of me is so precious, and that is what is going to endure. And so I have to watch what I do in my body and in my spirit, because it will affect my eternity. It will affect it. Finally, we have to make habits in the flesh to conquer in the spiritual. Don't tell me what we do each and every day doesn't matter in the spiritual. It matters. Fasting, praying, reading the word, it's like mini boot camp. There is not a military that goes into war unless absolutely forced to do so without having people who have been trained. They know how to unload their guns, clean them. They know how to march. They know some strategy, survival techniques. They know what to do in combat. They're trained. No one on a team, a sports team, goes out to play a game without having been part of practice. You have to go through the practice in order to prepare for the real thing. When you fast, when you pray, when you read the word, you are forcing your flesh to exercise, to prepare for the trials that will happen. I did not say might, I said will. Everybody's going to have a trial. But either you're going to go into it with preparation, or you're going to go into it hungry, not knowing what to do, not having your weapons ready to go, not having stuff in line, not having your teammates linked up with you to say, hey, we're going in this together, we got this. But when you are doing the fasting, when you are doing the praying, it's like doing a mini boot camp. And you're building your relationship with the King. You're having communication with Him. You are getting information directly from Him. He's giving you support. He's saying, you did good today. Let me give you a word. Oh, you read that scripture? Let me give you a little insight into what that means. Let me give you a promise. Let me give you something to keep you today. You don't have the trial today, but tomorrow's coming. You don't know it, but I know it. So I'm going to give you something so that you've got preparation. So then when you are in the trial, you're not crying out to God going, I haven't heard your voice. What do you sound like? You know the voice of the commander. You know the sound of the commander in chief. You know what he sounds like, and you know how to hearken to his voice when he says, let's have a time of prayer. Let's have a time. You can make this. You can do it. Church attendance becomes a priority. You can't say to yourself, well, it just doesn't matter if I come or if I don't come. And there are times when we can't come. But it must be in your heart to say, I want to be there every chance that I get. If I'm not there, I'm watching online. Why? I'm trying to crucify my flesh. I'm trying to remind it, there is a priority in my life and Jesus is it. Involvement in church functions. We want to be able to be in fellowship with each other because that strengthens those bonds. Because then when I get to talk to you, when you get to talk to me, we're having communion. So even though you may say, it's just Harvest Fest, that's important. We get to be in communion with each other. We get to be able to say, I love you. I enjoy you. I'm praying for you. How are you doing? What are you doing? It's communion for our soul. It strengthens that bond. We need to freely use our talents for the Lord. You may say, hey, my talent is I'm an organizer. Great, we need that. My talent is I'm an encourager. Great, we need that. I'm a greeter. Be a greeter. I can pray really often. Pray. Use your talents. It doesn't mean that you have to be a Van Gogh artist painting murals for the church. It doesn't mean that you have to, you know, be Mozart composing fantastic hymns. You can use the talents that the Lord has given you, and he's given every single person something that they can do to add to the kingdom. Everybody can add to the kingdom. Say, this is for me. Say, this is for me. Amen. When should we practice not quitting? When should we practice being overcomers? When should we practice trying to become a diamond? Every single day. Every single day. How many times do we have to die? Daily. We wake up in sin each and every day. So how many times do we have to practice this? This is not a sprint. This is a long distance marathon. It requires endurance. Anybody who is preparing for a marathon will tell you it's a different kind of a preparation from a sprint. You have to be able to build your wind to be able to breathe through it, to keep it going. You have to be able to build the muscles to keep going because your muscles will start burning the longer that you run. You're going to start feeling the burn. But if you're going to make it, you got to say, I'm in it and I know it's long distance. It's a marathon. You have to allow your faith to empower your endurance. Now, here's the difference. If you think with faith, you'll speak with faith, and then you'll act by faith. So when you are confronted with a problem, if you start going, God's got this. He can handle this. This hasn't taken him off guard. Then you start saying, hey, I know he can do this. In your situation, I know he can do it in yours too. You're going to start walking a little bit more confidently going, this is all right. I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to live in anxiety over this. I don't have to hang my head about this. God saw this coming. He's not caught off guard. You're going to start acting in faith. You're going to start saying, it's okay. I can walk into the darkness. I can walk into this room. I can walk up here and do this, knowing that God's already got the end figured out. We already know the end. We make it, right? So then anything else is okay. Where do we practice such unwavering faith? Everywhere. Everywhere. This is who we are. We aren't our jobs. We aren't our family. We aren't our hobbies, our money, our positions, our health, or the sum of our physical components. We aren't those things. We like to give ourselves titles, right? I'm a this, you know, I'm this type of a personality. Or I'm ADHD, or I'm, you know, I don't know, learning disabled, or I've got a gimpy leg. We like to speak things onto our existence. We need to start speaking onto our existence that we are children of the King. Since when did he have a delay that caused him to stumble? Why should I? If he's the master and author and the finisher of everything, then why should I feel like my God is so small he can't handle that? We can't box ourselves in with these things that are temporary. I love my family, but my family's temporary. I'm talking about my physical family. You want to know my eternal family? Look at each other. Right? So, what does that mean? David gets off track. Then I can't make it. No! David gets off track. I'm going to be on track to try to get him back on track. Because if not us, then who? Who stands in the gap for our families when they're having trouble? Who stands in the gap for the spouses who are not doing what they should do? Who stands in the gap for the children? Who loves them as much as we do? Jesus. So we want to be the vessel. We are kings and priests. We are worshipers. We are diamonds, which are vessels for the fire. Now I'm going to tell you about diamonds. One of the ways that you measure a diamond's value is by what jewelers call its fire. When a diamond is cut into its facets, that's when it starts to get its value. And the way that a diamond is cut, the jeweler wants to maximize the light that comes into the diamond and that the diamond captures. Because when light enters a diamond, if it's captured, when you look at it, it sparkles. And the more it sparkles, the jeweler says, the more fire it has. Woo! When we get filled with the Holy Ghost, and the Lord is cutting facets in our lives, and we can say it hurts, but every time he makes a cut, it's to give us the most amount of fire that we can achieve, the greatest amount of fire that we can display, so that we shine in brilliance, so that the light, his light that we capture, we can shine forth to the darkness that is in this world. We are simply supposed to be a vessel for fire. That's our purpose, to be a vessel for fire. Why does it matter? Because we can still affect change in our lives and in others' lives. The worldview does not equate God's view. It does not equal God's view. The world may say, you can't live. God can say something different. The world may say, 2 + 2 = 4. But God can say, I'm going to add an extra exponent to that. God has, as we have seen in the Bible, turned back time. He can turn back time. He can make a day longer. He can do whatever he wants to do. He can make a mountain move and walk on water. Why can't God change our circumstances? When we are in relationship with him, we have more sway with the boss. My daughter, because she's mine, if she asks something of me, she's going to have a better chance of getting it than some other kid off the street. She's mine. I'll be more inclined to give it to her. Now, she's going to have to be in relationship with me. If she didn't come around me for 20 years and then she comes and says, Mama, will you give me something? I probably won't be so inclined. But the relationship builds its own power. It creates its own brilliance. Sometimes, though, the Lord still may say no. But we still don't compromise. We're diamonds. We have to believe that his no had a good reason. And even if we never understand it, it's okay because he knows what's best for us. We fulfill our purpose in life in our transformation to becoming a diamond. And I end with this, the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These three Hebrew boys were placed into captivity in a kingdom that did not worship the true and living God. King Nebuchadnezzar set up an idol, and he said, I want them to bow to it. You're going to bow to this idol. And they said, we're not doing it. And this is what they said. If our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image which you have set up. Sometimes the answer may be no, but when you become a diamond, the fire in you shines so brightly, your vessel becomes so pure and so holy that you know that the fire is still going to be the thing that saves you at the end of the day. And even though the fire can do anything it wants to do, if the answer is still no, we're still not going to compromise. And so I leave you with this thought. If three Hebrew boys could do it, even before the Holy Ghost was poured out, how much more can we do it today? We who are filled with his promise and his security of the comforter in our lives that is alive and bubbling over today. I love you all and I bless you. And I ask you all to consider honing the edges of your diamond.